BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
My name is Alfie D. I'm in a place to be, and I'm rhyming on the mic so easily, and I'm fresh. Me and Cool Rock Ski, we in a place to be. I wrote that when I was like maybe 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah. 35 years on, Alfred Malone Jr. still goes by his childhood nickname, Alfie D, on social media. Under that name, Alfie now posts about news in his local community on Instagram and X.
I try to just keep people entertained. One day you might see, I'll be straight serious, then you turn around, you're going to see something, a funny clip of some animals or something. I'm like a chameleon, and that's what my page is, like a chameleon.
Also a part-time podcaster and part-time postman, Alfie is a proud resident of Baltimore on the east coast of America. It's clear to me how much he loves this city and its culture. It's a core part of his identity, and he tries to counter the reputation it has for high levels of violent crime by posting content online that showcases its community spirit.
What it do, what it do, what it do. Back again, this is your boy Alfie D and a place to be. Baltimore to me is kind of like an oxymoron. It's like the most safe, unsafe place in America.
Although he spends a lot of time posting videos on social media, between the rap and podcasts, Alfie finds the medium of audio to be a really powerful way of communicating too.
I would say audio is right up there with face-to-face. It's something about the tone of someone's voice or the laughter or something like that actually can keep you sucked in.
Alfie has seen and heard a lot happen in Baltimore, including in its online networks. But there's one audio clip that shocked him. It came from a leafy and usually peaceful suburb of Baltimore called Pikesville.
I would say a lot of people in the city kind of strive to move out to Pikesville. As a kid, you know, we used to go out there because it was different. It was the best place to go out and, you know, meet nice young ladies.
Pikesville looks like a typical white picket fence kind of suburb. The sort of place where a stranger on the street will come and help you fix your car or carry your shopping. It has sizable black and Jewish communities, and what seems like a friendly high school at its heart.
Good morning. Good morning.
The usual social media posts about the school show teachers greeting pupils at the gates, playing music in the corridors, and cheering on school sports teams.
Come on, let's go Panthers!
The high school's principal, Eric Eisworth, features in lots of these videos, welcoming and praising students.
Class of 2023, you did it. You've showed up. You've worked hard. You persevered. And you inspired those around you.
So it came as a bit of a surprise to Alfie when this different kind of clip, apparently of the principal, popped up on his social media feed.
I'm the principal here, me and only me. You know, I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these dumbasses here every day.
Only this time, it contains racist, anti-Semitic, and highly derogatory language.
Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, and if I have to get one more complaint from one more Jew in this community, I'm going to join the other side.
The clip, which is only audio, sounds like it's been secretly recorded. It includes names of members of staff who work at the school, as well as specific language only teachers would really use. Alfie decided he wanted to stick up for the Pikesville communities that the clip targeted.
They have their own thing going on in Pikesville, you know, just to be mild with it. Baltimore is a different city. If we love you, we love you, but we'll turn on you fast, you know.
After the audio clip surfaced, some of the community really did turn on Principal Eisworth. But what none of them knew then was that another bombshell would transform what they thought of the principal and of themselves. In this series, I'm travelling across the United States ahead of the presidential election, investigating how what happens online can shape the vote and how it can have real consequences for people's lives. After all, it's social media's world, and the election is just living in it. In this episode, I'm in Pikesville, Maryland, to find out how the audio clip Alfie spotted on social media, which was not at all what it first seemed, can affect one community in particular, and what that means for all of us. I'm Mariana Spring, BBC's disinformation and social media correspondent. And from BBC Radio 4, this is Why Do You Hate Me, USA? Episode 3, The Fable of the Pikesville Clip. I came across Alfie D when I saw his post about the racist and anti-Semitic clip on his community social media profile, shortly after it first appeared online. While Alfie's initial instinct was that the clip was real, he also admitted in the post he hadn't been able to verify the audio. He included the phone number for Pikesville High, urging his followers to ask the school directly about the clip.
The phones are just ringing. I'm assuming it's ringing off the hook.
Alfie says the school's phone lines were flooded with callers from across the country demanding answers. And according to him and others posting online, they weren't getting them. The school, the principal, and other staff went quiet. At least publicly, I found.
Social media again. People on social media. I've been calling the school all day. I can't get in contact with no one at the school.
In that moment, Alfie didn't know quite what to think.
So I couldn't corroborate. Was it actually a good story that I can repost? But then when I started seeing local news and the people in the community started to post it, then I started thinking like, whoa, this may be real.
The clip really struck a nerve. The series of racist tropes in 45 seconds of audio had offended members of both Pikesville's black and Jewish communities, and people in Baltimore City too. That was the reason Alfie, as a vocal member of the community and a black man, decided to reshare the clip himself, contributing to its spread.
You hear something like this, like, wow. You know, in the back of your mind, you're growing up, you're thinking like, this is probably the way people really actually feel about us. And then to hear that actually come across audio, you're thinking like, well, everything we was thinking was right there in our face.
Alfie didn't know the principal personally. But after hearing the clip, he decided Eric Eiswirt must be like some other white people he's known make racist remarks about him and other black people in Baltimore. Alfie chatted about it with some of his friends, and they felt the same. And this hadn't just sparked a conversation between local people online. The audio clip was getting attention from journalists, too.
I'm Kristen Griffith, and I'm an education reporter at the Baltimore Banner.
I meet Kristen at her apartment in Pikesville on a sweltering August day. It's softly and brightly furnished, and I spot several piles of thick books about the state of American politics and journalism dotted around the room. Kristen tells me the audio clip became the talk of her newsroom right away.
I didn't know the gravity of it until I started scrolling on social media a little more. There was even, like, conversations in the newsroom discussing, like, what do we personally think? And then seeing Twitter especially explode with it. I'm like, oh, everyone's talking about this.
While Kristen and her colleagues were trying to figure out what was going on, one of the most shared versions of the clip online was well on its way to passing 2 million views. That's only one clip on one single social media platform, but already that's around 60 times the entire population of Pikesville.
As we kept reporting on it and seeing those numbers, it was like, oh, wow, yeah, people are plugged into this topic specifically. That's interesting.
And what types of accounts were there sharing this stuff?
It kept spreading around, like it became like a national thing. And yeah, a couple of people with hundreds of thousands of followers got a hold of it and spread it even more.
This had now spread way beyond Baltimore. Accounts all over the country were resharing the audio clip, and it continued to rack up views. As the clip circulated, comments from people who said they knew or have come across Principal Eiswirt started getting traction.
No one said like 100% I was there when I heard it, but it was people saying, oh, he either did say this or I can definitely hear this man saying this. Yeah, this sounds like a person who didn't think they were being recorded.
Scrolling through them, Kristen realized there were pretty mixed opinions about the principal before this clip was shared.
I was struggling finding someone who said, this is not Eric Eiswirt. There were so many people who already made a conclusion. It can be convincing to someone who's like, if I'm wondering who this guy's about and all these people are coming to the same conclusion, then he must be what everyone's saying that he is.
Within hours, the pressure was growing on Pikesville High to respond. And as a journalist, the pressure was also on for Kristen to confirm whether the story was true.
A decision was made right then and there, like, we need to write about this. Like, I'm trying to be quick because we know other outlets are reporting on it as well.
News outlets were in a race to get their articles about the clip live. Kristen wanted to give the principal the chance to comment. So she reached out to the person representing him at the Education Union. And they told her something that changed the game completely.
So I already had a contact for who would be representing this principal in the school system. And he said right away, oh, we think this is fake. Or I think he was even more certain than that. Like, we believe this is fake. We believe it's AI. Oh, interesting. I hadn't heard that angle.
Disturbing audio recording is circulating in the Baltimore County community tonight.
Baltimore County Public Schools is investigating what sounds like the principal of Pikesville High School.
This new theory made Kristen want to continue trying to get to the bottom of the story. The claims the clip was faked initially sparked some backlash.
People were angry with, of course, the principal, but also the union rep for putting that narrative out there as if to give this man some type of pass or not hold him accountable. They thought the AI narrative was an excuse. It didn't seem like that convinced people who had already initially said this guy is capable or did say this.
It was at this point that local police started investigating the case. Staff at Pikesville High told them they were feeling unsafe because of all the attention, and they were concerned that the school was bugged with recording devices. Principal Eiswirth's reputation had taken a serious hit too. He was placed on administrative leave pending an investigation.
I mean, I'm here to hear his story.
Yeah, but nobody's going to believe your story anyway.
Security was stepped up around both him and the school, and he became a target for social media hate and threats. I found dozens of abusive messages taking aim at him online. One message I've seen appears to wish him dead. It reads, "The world would be a better place if you were on the other side of the dirt." The audio clip had surfaced in the middle of January 2024. And even though people were asking questions about what happened, it was another 3 months before the police updated everyone on the case.
My colleague calls me and says, it's out, it's happening. And I, I kind of panic, and then it felt a little bit like fireworks. My editor says, there's a press conference, why don't you just head that way?
Good afternoon. I'm Chief Robert McCullough of the Baltimore County Police Department. I'd like to first thank all the members of the media.
At the press conference, the police chief walks everyone through what led to the arrest.
On January the 17th, 2024, the Baltimore County Police Department became aware of a voice recording being circulated on social media. We have now conclusive evidence that the recording was not authentic.
For some, this was a bombshell. It appeared to exonerate Principal Eiswirth. What was striking is that the suspect, a 31-year-old man called Dejon Darian, had also worked at Pikesville High. The police said that Mr. Darian had been under investigation by Principal Eiswirth. Their theory was that by creating the fake clip, he may have wanted to discredit the principal before he could be fired over an alleged theft.
Through their investigation, detectives alleged Mr. Darian, who was the athletic director at the high school, made the recording to retaliate against the principal who had launched an investigation into the potential mishandling of school funds.
Dejon Darian is due to stand trial in December 2024 on charges related to the faked clip and potential theft. I contacted his legal representative and they didn't respond. I had the feeling that wasn't quite the end of it. I contacted Principal Eiswirth with various questions, but like Kristen, found the only comments he has made publicly have been via his union representative, indicating that the clip was fake. Pikesville High School didn't comment either. So instead, I set off for a walk outside the school. It's surrounded by beautiful detached houses with lovely gardens lined with potted plants. One of the things that struck me as we drove in, really, were all of the signs that were up. Lots of signs in support of the Jewish community, some signs in support of Israel. There also are signs in support of campaigns like Black Lives Matter. So it became apparent very quickly how important identity is to some people within this town. We're walking around now, seeing if there's anyone to chat to. I come across a lady in the kind of headscarf some Orthodox Jewish women wear.
We're from the BBC in London, and we're doing a story that's about the clip of the principal. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah.
Did you? Would you be happy to, like, chat to us quickly about it?
She tells me her name is Sharon. She's helping her daughter load a buggy into her car by the side of the road.
What was your reaction to that clip?
I was upset. I was very upset because right across the street, this is all Jewish neighborhood. Jewish. And to say something that's so inflammatory about the community was upsetting. I think when people say things like that, other people join in that, and it makes me more fearful. As you see, I have my grandchildren here. So, you know, a fear of being attacked or being ridiculed or persecuted for something that was not appropriate to say.
For several minutes, Sharon talks to me as though the clip is real, until her husband chips in from the car. He reminds her the clip is actually fake.
So did you then realize that it was then AI generated?
Yeah, I did find that out later. But what it was upsetting is that why didn't the principal or other people say that they were upset about it? It was kind of like, well, you know, you could have said one more step more and saying, not only did I not do it, it also offended me too. That's what he should have said.
When the clip was first shared online, Eric Eisworth's representative did say the principal condemned the comments, which he did not make. The Baltimore Public Schools superintendent also said the remarks were deeply disturbing. Nonetheless, I'm struck by how, for Sharon, finding out the clip was fake did little to lessen her anger about it. As far as she was concerned, the damage was done. I walk over a little closer to Pikesville High and see some people playing on the sports courts next door.
Sorry to interrupt you while it's very hot and you're playing tennis.
A man wearing a Jewish skullcap comes over to the baseline for a chat. It turns out he's actually met Principal Eisworth before.
Yeah, and we're from the BBC, sorry, that's... Yeah, you gather from my accent.
The tennis player's name is Brett. Although he tried to reserve judgment when the clip first came out, Brett says he was also concerned.
And it ended up being fake.
But now he does feel sorry for Principal Eisworth.
You know, it's too bad that an honest man that I've met was, framed like this and duped like this for other reasons. But, certainly the comments that were made there don't reflect the type of community that we view ourselves as.
What made it so hard to verify the clip was faked in the first place was how convincing it was. The clip being audio only meant there were no visual giveaways like robotic movements, and it mentions phrases like grade level expectations and other details that only people close to the school would know. Kristen has reported a lot on how AI experts helped prove the clip was fake. As we sit at her kitchen table, she opens up the clip on her phone and explains what she's found.
Let's listen and talk me through the signs that actually it might be faked.
Yeah.
I'm the principal here, me and only me.
The first thing we notice is, when you listen out for it, you can hear that the clip has been edited.
You know?
That pause after hear me and only me, it's like a stop and go almost. Like it's not a consistent sound, and that's all throughout.
I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these dumbasses here every day.
Does it again?
Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, or these teachers who don't get it, how hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations?
See, I would never have noticed those gaps. Now that you've mentioned them, they seem really obvious.
Exactly. I didn't notice it either. I only picked up on it when it was explained from an expert that that's a sign that it's not real.
And you might be even less likely to notice those edits if everything else about the clip seems realistic to you.
Is there any indication of how they managed to get that to sound so much like the principal?
It's very easy to get these tools. It doesn't take much money and it doesn't take much sound. You can use like a minute or two of a real person's voice to then get that voice to say what you want it to say. It doesn't take much.
The shockwaves this clip sent around the community seem pretty seismic to me. And that's mainly because they tapped into real experiences of racism and anti-Semitism that have affected people here.
When you talk to students, parents, other people, do they still believe the clip? Like, what's the legacy it's left?
I have spoken to students about this after he was arrested. They were still under the impression that this man is capable. Is that fair? I would assume the principal, Eric Eisworth, would find that really unfair. But I also don't want to discount the experiences of these students, and these are Black students I'm talking to. But at the very least, everyone should now know that recording was not him, and that's fact.
Do you think that that's a problem in so much as, like, something can be put out there and then people, if people want to believe it or think it could be true, it doesn't really matter if someone says, hang on a sec, this might not be true?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a problem when, given what we know now, the principal has taken on so much online or verbal abuse. It's worth calling out that, like, this person isn't deserving of this type of bashing if they didn't do what they were accused of. I mean, that's the simple of it.
I also messaged some parents and students. One student told me it felt like everyone was talking about the clip when it first came out, and now most people at school do know it was faked. However, once people have believed the clip was real, even for a short time, it can really stay with them. It reminds me of something I hear time and time again. Well, even if it's not real, it's what I think they think. Back in Baltimore City, Alfie D is still reeling from the clip. Even now, he thinks it sounds plausible.
It's still really convincing. I listened to it this morning in its entirety. It still sounds convincing because it's kind of hard. Audio is real easy to manipulate someone.
And from speaking to other people he knows, Alfie says he's not alone.
I honestly believe that a lot of people here in this city don't really know that that's not true, because a friend of mine that I spoke to this morning, and I had talked to him, was like, I don't really recall that. And then when I sent the clip of it, oh, I remember that, but didn't go into effect that it was actually AI generated.
Yeah, so they sort of are still convinced by it.
Yep, exactly.
Do you think it's possible for the principal to, like, save his reputation here?
Like I say, no one cares about the truth when a lie is so entertaining.
And a lot of what you've said, you know, has been very, very empathetic towards the principal at the heart of this.
Yeah, I sympathize with a lot of people that's been wrongly accused of a lot of things. They lost a lot. Everybody should have a second chance. I mean, everyone. So I sympathize a lot.
I can't help noticing that Alfie talks about Eric Eisworth deserving a second chance, even though he says that he knows the principal did nothing wrong here. While in some ways, Alfie does feel sorry for the principal, he's also encountered lots of people falsely accused who never get a second chance because of the kind of racism he recognised in the faked clip.
It struck me when you said, you know, that feeling, I guess, particularly amongst the Black community, which is really sizable here, that these are things that people think about you all the time, but they don't say.
Yes.
And that, in some ways, making the clip more convincing, because yes, actually when you're used to experiencing racism, you kind of think, oh, well, that is what they think. We just don't normally catch them when they,
yes,
when they say it.
But we heard the audio, like, I knew it. I knew it. So let's, now we up a rage. Let's call the school. This person has to go, and things of that nature. So yes, it did, you know, kind of put a little reaction inside of the community.
I mentioned what Alfie told me to Kristen.
I think that is a common reaction. But there's also this tone of the divisiveness in this country, I think, makes that even more of a thing. I'm sure Black people, or maybe I'll just speak for myself, kind of expect it, that people are capable of being discriminative, being racist.
What's the moral of this tale, which feels a bit like a fable about the dangers of AI? Essentially, deepfakes can be their most divisive when they target close-knit communities in ways that will hurt them the most. And when the person at its heart isn't someone super well known, but instead a community figure, say a principal rather than a president, it can also take longer to work out what's going on. For Kristen, there is a solution.
Do the homework. I hope people know who reliable sources are. And then even if you think it's a reliable source, see what your local news outlet is reporting, because they probably have a better ear to the ground anyway.
The way social media has become a key source of information in communities, rivaling local newspapers, contributes to this problem. Yes, neighborhood groups on social media do keep people up to date, but the social media site's algorithms favor posts that trigger a reaction over less engaging, accurate news stories.
How do you feel now about trusting clips when you hear them? Like, do you think you've become less trusting?
It taught me a lot. I just try to post a lot of funny things now. Some things that I'll be real cautious on reposting it to, I go do a little bit of research before I repost it. I might be last posting it, but I want to make sure that I'm actually posting something that is true.
Thinking about the election and AI, do you worry that a clip like the one that affected this community could spread around the election?
I mean, anything is possible. You still have the average person that's going to believe everything online is true, like they say.
And if you ever saw an audio clip like that again, do you think you'd think, ooh?
Yeah, I've been burnt by the fire once, so I'm not touching the stove again. So I definitely want to listen to everything that's what's going on.
Principal Eiswirt is now back at work at a different school not too far from Pikesville. I put all the points in this episode to him and didn't hear back. All the evidence I've seen shows this has had a really serious impact on his life. And what has arguably proven life-changing for one man could prove catastrophic for a nation. I've investigated before how deepfakes have been used to target particular groups of voters. The worry in the build-up to the election would be of a clip like this one, spread in a swing state that could be crucial to deciding the outcome. All of the major social media companies say they have policies to label, remove, and limit the spread of AI-generated posts. But that action only happens when it can be proven a clip was faked, and by that point, sometimes, it could have already reached millions of people. A video doesn't have to be faked, though, to cause confusion, controversy, and division.
You know, like, you literally don't know when you're going to be a victim of doxing or just, like, insane, like, social media hate.
That's next time on BBC Radio 4's Why Do You Hate Me, USA.
Cafe Hope on BBC Radio 4.
By the time I'd finished these 100 meetings, I'd raised £50,000.
I'm Rachel Burden, welcoming you into a virtual coffee shop where I chat to people looking to improve the lives of those around them.
It's about tackling isolation and loneliness.
Engaging in conversation with people, you know, can make a massive difference.
Amazing individuals trying to make the world a better place.
It's a real gift.
Cafe Hope from BBC Radio 4. Listen now on BBC Sounds.